Welcome to Bits About Books, the home for conversations with authors of breakthrough books on sales, marketing, and business. Founders, entrepreneurs, and individual professionals, we all need to keep track of ideas that are helping create our today and tomorrow. Bits About Books will strive to find those books and speak to their authors, go behind the scenes and understand what inspired the authors to write the books that they did and how they went about doing so. Through our conversations, we hope to gain insights that will help us to get the most out of our efforts. I'm your host Shubhanjan Sarkar, founder of PitchLink, the next generation buyer-seller engagement platform, where our mission is to make buying easy. Over the years that we have been bringing you stimulating conversations with authors of breakthrough books in business, sales, and personal development, some conversations resonated with the listeners of this podcast. For the next few episodes, we will bring you some of those conversations as they remain stimulating and relevant. My conversation with Diane Helbig, author of Succeed Without Selling, took place while I was traveling through Bristol, UK. The era of hardcore selling is over, and this conversation with Diane resonated with me because it was so focused on the buyer and the simple truth that hard sell is, well, hard. Enjoy. Today, we have with us Diane Helbig, author of the upcoming book, Succeed Without Selling.
When we are in this always closing sales mindset, we think everybody we meet is a potential customer. We've decided, or we have been told, that if we are just convincing enough, if we are eloquent enough, the other person is going to want to buy from us. So first of all, that's not true. People buy because they need something or they want something and they trust the person who's selling it. And the way they trust that person is they believe the person cares about them more than the person cares about making a sale. So the only way we can do that is to be genuinely curious about the person we're talking to. That's number one. Number two, we have this weird belief that any business is good business, that we just have to generate revenue. And the truth is that that's garbage.
Our guest today is Diane Helbig, author of the book Succeed Without Selling. Diane helps her customers identify the obstacles in their way and create strategies that will work for small business owners and salespeople who want to improve their business development strategies. She is the host of Accelerate Your Business Growth, a podcast, and brings valuable actionable information to her listeners. Succeed Without Selling is the latest in a series of books on sales penned by Diane. Diane is a business coach, sales expert and trainer, social media trainer, and business networking specialist for leadership of small businesses and entrepreneurs. Now on to this great episode of Bits About Books with Diane Helbig. Diane, welcome to Bits About Books. I'm thrilled to have you on the show and extremely excited to hear about Succeed Without Selling.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. I'm extremely excited to talk about it.
So tell me, I mean, why did you think that you had to write a book which had to tell salespeople to not think about selling all the time?
Because people think about selling all the time. And when they think about selling, they behave in a way that doesn't get them what they want. So they got to stop.
So that's quite counterintuitive, right? I mean, the entire legion of books, millions of podcasts and blog posts, they're all talking about always be closing, always be closing.
So thank you so much for saying that. You're absolutely right about that. And my belief is that is an old practice that possibly worked back in the 1980s and 1990s. I don't believe it works anymore since the advent of the internet. I'm not quite sure it ever really worked, but I'd like us to change the ABCs of selling to always be curious. I think that works far better than always be closing. And I totally get it that it's counterintuitive. And it's the thing that works the best.
Diane, you know about selling a lot more than I ever will.
So I have this very fundamental thought that what really has happened is that the buyer has changed. And in the excerpts that you shared with me, you do mention at some place that at one point the buyers were extremely dependent upon their sales counterpart to bring knowledge, share data, information, new technology, so on and so forth. And that's gone. But we don't seem to acknowledge that anymore.
Right. That's exactly. We're still practicing the same old system that is for a different audience. It's for an old consumer. With the advent of the internet, the consumer is so well educated. They have knowledge almost, they have almost as much knowledge as we do. Sometimes to a dangerous point. I get it that sometimes they can think they know more than they do, but that's not really the point. You know, the point is that we need to be treating the buyer differently because they've changed, but also because the old ways of selling don't work. They get us into bad relationships that actually hurt our business instead of helping it. And there's just so much bad about being in sales brain.
Right. So I would urge you to elaborate a little more, because I think not enough is spoken about this, right?
Yeah. Thank you. I would love to. So when we are in, I call it sales brain, but when we are in this always closing sales mindset, we think everybody we meet is a potential customer. We've decided, or we have been told, that if we are just convincing enough, if we are eloquent enough, the other person is going to want to buy from us. So first of all, that's not true. People buy because they need something or they want something and they trust the person who's selling it. And the way they trust that person is they believe the person cares about them more than the person cares about making a sale. So the only way we can do that is to be genuinely curious about the person we're talking to. That's number one. Number two, we have this weird belief that any business is good business, that we just have to generate revenue. And the truth is that that's garbage, because anyone listening to this who's ever been in sales knows you get a bad customer, it takes away from your ability to serve your good customers. It takes away from your ability to go out and make more sales, and it takes away from your enjoyment and enthusiasm for what you do and what you sell, because you're dealing with people who you don't like.
Hmm. And you went to them only for the revenue, because it was sort of making your quota for that quarter or whatever.
Exactly. And it can be really damaging to a company, because there's plenty of companies out there who will, you know, they'll take anybody. And what happens is it costs them more to deal with that customer than they're making from that customer. So they're losing money and they're not able to service their other customers effectively or go out and get other customers. So they end up in this weird cycle of having these terrible customers who'd be better off being someplace else, and they would be better off just having said no. But the only way you know if someone's a bad customer, potentially a bad customer, is if you are really present and paying attention while you're having a conversation with them, because they send signals. You know, everyone telegraphs who they are. But if you're not paying attention, you're not going to get the memo.
Hmm. So I have a bunch of questions actually sort of running around in my head as you are telling this. So
yeah.
One key question is, and I just want you to sort of help me understand.
Okay.
Do you think it's a problem of the manager? So what I mean, let me just explain. That the managers are the ones who are actually struggling with the transition from the old way to the new way, from the old buyer to the new buyer. And they're sort of mistraining this new, I mean, there's some data that about 35 or 40% of all salespeople are millennials. they were not exposed to the old ways of the 80s and 90s. They are possibly doing it their own way. So one question is that, are we stuck here because the sales leadership is actually stuck somewhere else?
That's such a great question. And the answer is that is absolutely part of the problem. Absolutely. That if they sold in a way that they were taught to sell that they think worked for them, that's what they're expecting of their people, and that's what they're teaching. Now, that's part of the problem. The other part of the problem is we have small business owners who were never salespeople, who don't know how to sell, who believe, who sort of have learned this concept of selling either from reading books or from their relationships with other salespeople. See what I mean? Like they've watched how other people interact with them, and they think that's what I'm supposed to be doing. So it's just bad all the way around.
Right. So two, three issues that come up. One, of course, is from the buyer, and you mentioned that people buy from people who they trust. Right. So one of the questions, and this is honestly something I would like your opinion on, and in this context of trust, trust has been a sort of cornerstone of any transaction, especially I'm talking of a B2B kind of transaction, for very long. Right. And I'm sure it's still the case. But would you also sort of subscribe to this thought that people, because we are increasingly buying from people we don't know, right? It is not that we all grew up in the same town and my friend with whom I went to school and college has become a salesperson now and I'm the factory manager and I'm buying from him, but yet our children play the soccer every Wednesday, right? So there is this huge history of trust, right? Or mistrust. You say, hey, never touch Joe because that guy, no one knows what he's selling, right?
Yes.
So that is gone, right? So we are talking to people, selling to people, and because of the internet, people we have never met. So where I'm going with this is that the first premise of trust in a sales transaction is the brand. So I don't mind buying from Joe who I never met, but he's selling me something which is produced by IBM or a Microsoft or, I don't know, some other manufacturing large company, right? So do you see, what I'm going to say is that the trust is not only about the person building it up because it takes time, but a primary function of the trust has actually moved to the brand. Does that make sense?
It does when you're talking about a big brand. However, that people buy people first, product second, company third. So the reason why trust is so important and the reason why being a really good active listener and being curious about people is so important is because that really is the first line. So that you are right that we are in a whole different world and we are buying from people who are not our neighbor. And so we have, you know, the trust process takes longer. And so a brand can help with that. However, there's plenty of people out there selling a really good brand and doing a really bad job of it.
Of course.
They're doing a really bad job of delivering it. So, which only hurts that brand eventually. And that's sort of the brand's problem. But let me flip it on you a little bit if I can.
Sure, please.
One of the problems I see a lot with some bigger companies is they have salespeople who, given what you were saying about the sales manager brings them in, teaches them a really bad way of selling, which is happening all the time. So they have like a revolving door in their sales department.
Yes.
So the community is seeing a new person all the time. That does not build trust in the brand.
I agree.
That tells the consumer
absolutely
there's something wrong there if they can't keep people.
Yes.
So brands really screw themselves by banking on their brand to get them where they want to be. I'll say it that way.
So it's not like a black and white story. It's like extremely layered and complex, right?
Yes, yes.
And then going back to what you said, the first step to building that man-to-man trust is possibly, you said curiosity. And I think you have also written it, explained it later, that having genuine interest in your, and the genuine is the key word, in your prospect.
Yes, yes, right.
Let's take a short break. When we come back, we will hear Dan explain why being genuine is the key to any long-term relationship that a salesperson wants to forge with his prospect.
You are listening to a Business Podcast Network original. Podcasting is the fastest growing content marketing opportunity, which is untapped. We can help you craft your audio strategy and help leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that the smartphone penetration provides. It is easy, it is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to your targets like never before. Write to us at bpn@bizcast.in. That is bpn@bizcast.in. Business Podcast Network. Podcasts end to end.
Welcome back to this delightful discussion with Diane Helbig, author of the book Succeed Without Selling. What has being genuine got to do with sales success? Let's hear Diane explain.
People can smell disingenuousness, if that's even a word, mile away. We are, you know, humans are animals. We can sense when someone is not being authentic with us. And I will say that part of the problem, part of the reason I wrote the book is, if we go back to small business owners who don't know how to sell, it's not that they're being disingenuous, it's that they're uncomfortable in a sales process. Well, the way that it's interpreted is that they're not being genuine. So they do damage to themselves that is unintentional, because they're not comfortable behaving in a way that is uncomfortable. And my thing is, stop behaving that way. It doesn't work. So stop. People are more comfortable having just genuine conversations with other people. So they make better relationships faster. And then they are in business for the long term, because they build really good relationships that last for a very long time.
Yeah, which includes the fact that you walk away from someone who really doesn't need your stuff.
Exactly. Yes. Right. I had someone ask me the other day on a forum, how do you convince someone to buy what you sell if they don't need it? Like, I couldn't even believe I was getting the question. if they don't need it and they can't afford it. And my answer was, you don't.
Exactly.
Let's stop doing this. It just makes us look bad.
Yeah, actually, one of the, and I'm slightly deviating from your book here, to take the opportunity to have your view. You know, I think this entire process of prospecting, which has been the cornerstone of selling for the last, say, 50 years, I mean, which is why you see so much of, you know, email marketing and marketing automation and so on and so forth. To identify in a sea of humanity which five people are ready to buy from you today, right?
Yeah.
That process, I think, is dated and needs to be shunted. Because these five guys who are ready, they know they are ready, right?
Right.
I mean, when I go to Amazon, Amazon doesn't know what I'm going to buy. I know what I'm going to buy.
Yeah.
If I'm walking through a Tesla showroom, I know I'm here just to take a look, and not, I have no interest in buying because I can't afford it or whatever. or I have the cash in my pocket, I'm going to walk out with the car now.
Right.
I know, as the buyer, is it not? And our entire process of this whole rigmarole of, you know, sifting through the chaff and trying to find that grain of rice, I think is completely outdated.
Well, I agree with you, and I actually do have a chapter on prospecting.
Really?
Because,
wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Please tell me about it.
So my belief is this, that you have to know who your target audience is, especially when you sell B2B. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to say, okay, this is the kind of company that could possibly use my product or service. And you have to figure out who's in that target market. And then you want to figure out how you're connected to those people so you can ask for an introduction to those people. So we have to, this is why relationships are so incredibly important, because the more really good relationships you have with people and the more people who trust you, the better opportunity you have of being introduced to your prospects so that you can have a conversation with them. Hmm. It isn't so you can sell them. You're not seeking the sale. You're seeking a meeting. Because you still don't know. They can look exactly like your best client, but until you have a conversation with them, you don't know if they really are a really good prospect.
Correct.
You just don't know. So if we invest our time in building good relationships and not assuming that everyone we meet is a potential client, because we need those resources too, and they need us. Hmm. So if we just go into these conversations just wide open, knowing we have no idea who we're about to talk to, and we're just really curious about getting to know them as a human,
then
we easily identify, or pretty quickly, because we're paying attention, we can identify, is this someone who I want to continue to have a conversation with, or is this someone who, you know, I'm just really not feeling. It's like dating. We don't date everyone we meet.
True.
And we hopefully don't look at everyone as a potential mate.
Yeah.
Right? And we don't get married on the first date.
True.
So if we look at it this way, then what we're doing is we're trying to build a toolbox. We're trying to build relationships. And the only way we can build really good, solid relationships is by being trustworthy.
You know, I have a gap in understanding about how the trusts really develop. And how long does it take, or whether it can, I mean, okay, so I will say that building trust has to be separate from your pipeline. You have to always be building trust, and from there some pipeline will emerge which will eventually close and so on. But building a trust is your full-time, building trust with prospects, with your target market or what have you, is your full-time occupation, right? Because that's the first step.
Yeah, I just think you're building trust with everybody you're encountering, whether they're your target or not.
Correct.
Because they can introduce you to your target. And you're right. It is separate from your pipeline. You have your pipeline. You either are going to be able to get an introduction to them, or you're going to have to reach out to them.
Yes.
For me, the key is don't reach out to them trying to sell them.
Right.
Reach out to them wanting to have a conversation with them to learn more about them. And do your research ahead of time so at least you know something about them when you do your outreach, so they can see that you really are interested in them, that you're not just dialing for dollars. Dialing for dollars doesn't work.
And it's so strange, right, Dan, that so few does that even basic. I mean, I have met people who have come to meetings, I said, did you take a chance, by any chance, look at our website? He said, no, I wanted to, but I said, seriously? We set up this meeting 3 weeks back.
Yeah.
What are you telling me, actually?
Right. That you they know, don't
I,
care.
Or they're so smart and we are so dumb, right?
Well, yeah. And how does that feel?
Exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't work. Right. I mean, that doesn't build trust.
Yeah.
Because what the salesperson's telegraphing is, I don't really care to get to know you. I don't really care about what you need. I have this thing that I'm going to try and sell you.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. It's too competitive of a landscape these days. Besides the fact that I just think it's really bad practice, it doesn't work.
Yeah. So Dan, you have been very focused on the SMB segment, right? You know a lot about it. So tell me a bit about how this whole segment is changing, and then of course say how they can use your the knowledge that you've shared in the book. But essentially, how do you analyze the shifts that are taking place in the SMB space?
So thanks for that. That's a really good question. I think more and more, how do I want to say this? So it is getting bigger and bigger. More and more people are entering the space, which is a great thing. The economy is really founded on small business. The challenge that I see is that there is so much they don't know about running a business and being a business owner that they really should take the time to learn. I think what's happened with all this emphasis on entrepreneurship, the thing that's been missed is, you know what, there's a lot to it. You can't just hang a shingle. You can't just build a website. You can't just take your skill and turn it into a business, because it's a business, and that's a whole other talent. You know, being a business owner is a whole other talent, and you can develop it. I just think we make it hard on ourselves when we dive in and try and be a business owner when really what we are is a really good technician.
It's a very interesting thing, you know. I mean, it sort of brings a parallel in my mind, that just like we believe that salespeople actually need no training, need no education. I mean, if you are, people used to say, right, oh, you're extrovert. You like meeting people. Hey, I think you should be in sales.
Yeah.
And it's very similar with entrepreneurship and small businesses.
Yeah.
You don't need any training. You don't need any aptitude. You can become a small business person.
Right. It's a problem. I mean, because I think they struggle unnecessarily. And my whole reason for even, you know, leaving being an employee and becoming a business owner was because I see so many struggles that are unnecessary that it just sort of drives me crazy. So I think, okay, you know, back it up, slow it down. There's things you have to do in business. You don't have to necessarily be the person doing them, but you got to know they have to be done. So I just worries me a little. And I think a lot of it, I think it was really propelled when the economy tanked in 2008. And there was the recession, and all these poor people could not get a job. And especially the older demographic, you know, baby boomers, they could not get hired. They had to do something. So I applaud them for wanting to start a business. Absolutely. Yes. It's just, I think they owe it to themselves to make sure that they get a full understanding of what that means, because there's a lot to it.
Yes, and as you rightly said, if you are in a business, you have to sell.
Yeah.
And you better understand how it works.
Yeah.
It cannot be based on, okay, like you wrote somewhere, make 40 calls, shake 40 hands. That cannot be the formula.
Please don't do that.
I mean, that's not going to make it fly.
Right.
Yeah.
And I submit the people won't do it because it is so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That they won't do it. So my viewpoint is, how about if we just do the things that are comfortable? How about if we just do the things that we will do and that actually will get us somewhere? So I just think part of the reason I wrote the book is so that people would know that they don't have to try and sell in this old, silly, sales-focused sort of way. It doesn't work. And you said something about millennials earlier. Guess what? It certainly doesn't work with millennials.
Absolutely.
Right? They can see that train coming down the track. They're so wise that if for no other reason, let's just stop.
Yes. And 35% of all buyers, not sellers, buyers are millennials.
Yeah.
We miss these numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. It really matters. It really, really matters. We have to own the truth, because that's the only way we're going to be successful. We can keep trying to do things a certain way, but it's not really serving us.
Right.
And so I look at it and say, I mean, I'm a real logical sort of person, so I say, why in the world are we still doing this nonsense?
Very true. So Diane, before we close and I let you go, I know it's early in the morning for you. You have a whole day ahead. What are the points you think people should sort of focus on when they're reading the book, when it's finally in their hands?
So I really do think that if there really was one thing I would want people to focus on, it is that the more you focus on selling, the less you will sell. If people can embrace that concept, it liberates them to stop thinking about selling, because when you're thinking about selling, you're thinking about yourself. You're not thinking about your prospect.
Right. Right.
So that's my big driving, can we please just stop focusing on selling? Let it go.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Bits About Books is brought to you by PitchLink, the buyer-seller engagement platform. PitchLink makes buying easy by enabling high-quality engagement between buyers and sellers through its presentation and discussion modules. Sellers create customized sales narratives using sales collaterals and personal videos, and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement. PitchLink requires no installation or download and holds the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversations. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without intrusion. Call us on 99021-631-32.
Thank you, Diane. It was such a pleasure speaking with you.
And, oh, thank you. Thanks please, for the opportunity.
No, we are delighted. And I'm sure I'll come back to you to talk about your other books as we progress with this podcast. And I look forward to the book coming out.
Well, thanks. Me too.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Diane. I really enjoyed our chat.
Thank you. Me too.
Thank you for being with us today on Bits About Books, where we talk to authors about breakthrough books on sales, marketing, and business. We hope this conversation helped inform and motivate as we all navigate a rapidly changing business environment. For us, these are enlightening conversations enriched with knowledge and expertise. We encourage you to go out and buy the book to learn firsthand and implement some of the great ideas we discussed today. We hope to have you with us again in the next exciting episode of Bits About Books. If you liked what you heard, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast platforms like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcast from, and give us a rating while you are at it.
This BizCast original podcast is produced for PitchLink, the next generation buyer-seller engagement platform, where the mission is to make buying easy. Hosted by Subhanjan Sarkar and produced by Rajiv Aditya. See you next time and have a wonderful day.